Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Well, it's always a privilege to bring the Word of God to you. But let's just open in prayer, shall we? Well, Father, we just come to you and we thank you. We thank you that we have the opportunity to gather, to learn your Word, and that we have each other. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you come today and minister to hearts, change lives, and make us different than we were when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a, not a joke, but something that made me smile. And I said, oh, the ladies might like this. Okay, it's about babies. When you have your first baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes the minute your doctor says you're pregnant, don't you? Your second baby, you're like, I'm not wearing maternity clothes until I absolutely have to. And the third baby, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. For your first baby, at the first sign that they're crying or whimpering, you run and you pick them up. With your second baby, you pick them up when their cries are so loud they may wake up the firstborn. And your third baby, you've taught your three-year-old how to turn on the swing. With your first baby, if the pacifier falls on the floor, you put it away until you can go home and boil it. Your second baby, you squirt it off with some juice from the bottle. And the third baby, you wipe it on your shirt and put it back in their mouth. So as you have babies even, things change, don't they? You know what else changes? Your desires and your opinions change. Listen to this. What a woman wants at age 22 changes as life goes on. At 22, she wants someone handsome, charming, financially successful, a caring listener, witty, in good shape, dressing with style, appreciating the finer things of life, very thoughtful and full of surprises. 20 years later, at age 42, she says, well, as long as he's not too ugly, he doesn't drive off until I'm actually in the car, he needs to nod his head when I'm talking, remember the punchline of jokes, he needs to be in good enough shape that he can move the furniture, and please, if he could just wear a shirt that could cover his stomach, remember to put the toilet seat down, and shave at least on the weekend. At 72, if he just doesn't scare little children, if he can remember where I put my things and is in good enough shape to stand up by himself, at least if he wears some clothes and he doesn't notice my facial hair and wrinkles, if he can just remember where he left his teeth and stop trying to tell jokes. So today we're talking about, guess what? Change. Changing of your thoughts and your opinions and time. You know, I'm reading an excellent book by a wonderful woman of God. It's called Seasons of Change. And, you know, she talks about what we all live. We grow up and we get married most of the time and we start a life. So you go through a time when you have little babies, and we all know that season of life, where every shirt you have has throw up or greasy little handprints or something on it, and you're always carrying a diaper bag and putting car seats in the car, half in your husband's car, half the car seats in your car, and switch it off. Baby time, right? And then you go through a season of life where your kids are in school, and now you are at PTA meetings, and you are doing science projects, and you're going to back to school nights, and every weekend is a sports event, and you're picking up and dropping off and picking up and dropping off, and you feel like a taxi cab. Can I get an amen? All right, and then you have these teenagers where your favorite verse becomes, Lord, train up a child in the way they should go, and I know that they will not depart. When they're older, I need strength. And you get through that teenage stage of life. And then they go to college, and you cry, and they're gone, and you're just like, wow, who is this man that I married? I got to get to know him like we're in the house by ourselves now and all this, right? And then your baby finds someone to marry, and all of a sudden, they're gone, and you're a grandmom, okay? And then you are finding you're retired, another season of life. And through all this, you're going through menopause. Covers on, covers off. Sweating, not sweating. I'm cold, I'm hot, I'm irritable, I'm moody, I'm crying. Why am I crying? That season of life, okay? And then you have time to travel and maybe time to find a new hobby. But there are different seasons that we all have to go through. True? And through it all, I found that with these changes and these seasons, the very thing that stresses me out the most is the very thing that I can do nothing to change. You can't change, you're worried about rain for an outdoor party that you're having. Can you change it? Can you stop it? You're worried about a child that's gone astray. You get 18 years to raise them, to teach them about the things of God, to instill what you can in them, and then they're going to have their own opinions and do their own things no matter what you think, right? You have a loved one that's dying. You've prayed for healing. You've gone through healing scriptures. You've done all you can do, and they are dying. You can't do anything about it. You're being divorced. You didn't ask for it. They fell in love with somebody else. They moved on. These are things that stress you out the most, and what can you do about them? Right now, we're in a season in our country of unrest. You know, we have a presidential election and all the presidential candidates. We have COVID-19. We have malls closed and schools closed and barbershops closed, and we have distance learning. Lord, help me. Right? So 2020 has brought all these changes, and most of the things we really can't do anything about. Time passes and things change. Time passes and we enter new seasons of life. And time passes and God gives us new purpose. So today, as much as we don't like these changes and as much as we can't do anything about them, we need to understand that they are inevitable. Time and change can't be manipulated or managed by us. And so we need to use this time and this season to grow in our faith. So point number one, time was created by God for us. Time was created by God for us. You know, everyone gets 24 hours in a day. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor, if you are black or white, if you are a woman or a man, if you are the president of the United States or you live in the street, you only get 24 hours in a day. You can't buy more time, can you? You know, sometimes you wish you could say, hey, can you give me an extra hour today and I'll pay you back on Friday? Because it just seems just not enough time, right? These things are, they cannot be changed. Just like sometimes you're so tired, you wish you could tell somebody like, can you go to the bathroom for me? My feet hurt really, really bad. Things that are impossible. You cannot get more than 24 hours in a day, right? In Job 14:5, it says, you have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. Time was created by God for us. In Genesis 1:14, it says, then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, the days, and the years. And down in verse 18, it says, and God saw that it was good. So God created time for us. And yet God is eternal. We live in time. We are bound by time. But he isn't. And it's a good thing that he's not in time, because his promises are eternal. His provision is forever. His love is always an unconditional. If he said it once, it's good for our lifetime. He still heals. He still saves. He still delivers, because he is eternal. So why is time good for us? Why are we in time? You know, when we're trying to get a prayer answered, we're like, you know, I prayed a year ago, you know, but where is it, right? We want him to be on time, and we don't want to be in time. But because of time, we can have a bad day, because tomorrow is a new day, right? Because can you imagine if it was forever? You're having a bad day, like, for eternity. Because of time, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. If it were not for time, we wouldn't have the blessing of seeing his mercies every morning, realizing how good and faithful he is to us. If it weren't for time, we wouldn't have Matthew 6:34 that says, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow brings its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." So God, it seems in all this, is saying, take life one day at a time. So many times we're so worried about what's going on that we can't enjoy what he's given us for today. You know, and during this season, so many people have died. I know that sometimes COVID just is like a flu and you just get over it and you're good. But in minority communities, in African Americans, Hispanic communities, people that have underlying disease, people are dying. I have friends that have died. I have friends in the hospital. And for them, it's no joke. And these changes have been very difficult for us to accept. Amen? But God says, even when he teaches us to pray, he says, "Our Father which art in heaven," reminding us that he's not here in time. He's eternal. Give us this day, right? And, you know, every day when we wake up, it is a blessing. And we need to praise God for every day instead of complaining about the situation that we're in, because he's the ruler. He's sovereign. He's got it. It's not bothering him, right? Point number two is change is scary. People hate change. You know, I get up in the morning and I want to have my cup of coffee with my creamer in my mug and sit in my chair and do my devotions. Boom. Well, if I get up and I haven't realized that I'm out of coffee and I ran out of creamer and somebody moved my mug and something happened to my chair, my whole day is thrown off. It ruins your whole peace, because we have a peace about things not changing. We want to know what we can expect from day to day. When you get stressed out, you don't grab a carrot. You eat some comfort food. When you're stressed, you go get a big salad, or you get food that brings back good memories, that comforts you. Something that you ate when all the family was healthy and together on Thanksgiving, and something you know that's going to make you smile. Something with some calories. Amen? You could tell we've been stressed lately, huh? Well, change causes stress. You know, they've done studies that both negative changes and positive changes cause stress. So everything from somebody dying or getting a divorce, and then they studied, how about when you get married or you have a child or change jobs, all cause the same amount of stress. Because it causes uncertainty about the future. So whether good change or bad change, it causes uncertainty and it causes stress. Some people do well with change and embrace it, and others do not. Some people pick up vices like food, sex, alcohol, drugs, because they cannot deal with the change. Even Alcoholics Anonymous realizes that change causes people to drink. They have the serenity prayer that says, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." They try to use willpower and self-control to conquer the addiction that occurred because they didn't want to deal with changes that were occurring. A better quote is Henry Drummond. I like this better. "Willpower does not change men. Time does not change men. Christ does." So time causes change, change causes uncertainty, uncertainty destroys your peace and causes stress. And stress can show up briefly for like headaches and you can't sleep or you have a stomach ache. But when you have stress over a long period of time, it can lead to death. It can cause high blood pressure and ulcers and heart attacks. The CDC had a report this in August of 2020, and it said that the stress in Americans is three times the amount than it was in 2019. And the depression rate is 4 times the amount in 2020 than it was in 2019. And I would hope that these statistics would be different for those in the church, but it isn't. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are struggling with the changes society is facing, even though we have the key, even though we have the answer, even though we have the God of peace. Even though we know we cannot control these things, we're stressing. You know, I work in the marriage ministry with my husband, and we were teaching about how to keep your marriage alive and happy. And guess what the answer is? Change. If you get in a rut and you're doing the same thing over and over and over again, then your marriage is going to be stagnant, not moving. Change is a moving thing, right? It's just like a stagnant pool. Your marriage is going to turn green and smell bad. Right? You got to keep things going. You got to find new things to do, new activities to do together to keep marriage alive. So change can be good. Romans 8:28 reminds us that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. So even though change is scary, even though we don't understand change, we know that God's going to work it out. Amen? So time was created by God for us. We live in time, but he's eternal. Change can be scary, but change can be good. One of my favorite kid movies is The Croods. If you have kids, have you seen The Croods? Okay, so I have kids and I have grandkids and we watch it all the time, but it's about a family who is a prehistoric family and they live in a cave and they venture out in the daytime to go get food, but at night dad insists because he's so afraid of change to go back to the cave, put the rock in front of the cave, stay in the cave. The teenage daughter, one day, she rebels, and she's like, well, what's out there? What's so scary? Why do we have to stay in the cave? Da-da-da-da. You know how teenagers are. They keep you on your knees, amen? And she goes out, and she sees another caveman person who's a little more progressive than her dad, and he's telling her, you know, this, where we live, is going to end. You got to move. And dad has to put aside his fears. He has to change what he was thinking and get out of the cave to save his family. I love that movie. And so there are positive things that happen with change. So I had some slides to show you some positive things that happen with change. I had a song, and you guys need to look it up. I think it's James Greer, and it says, "Hold on, change is coming." We can't play the song, but I want to show you the slides. All right, so they used to use paper to wipe their butt. We have Charmin, nice and soft and cushiony toilet paper now. What do you think that is? Old TV, new big flat screen TV. Positive changes. Roller skates, then and now. Looks like little bicycles on his feet. You think that would keep you afloat? But how heavy, huh? That's a life preserver, then and now. Computer. Washing machine. My grandma used to have one of those where the thing at the top, you put the clothes in to wring out the water. You can get your hand caught. Calculator. Wouldn't want to carry that one around. Oh, what's that? The old tampon. Can you imagine? Old hairstyles. What if there hadn't been a change? Do you even know what that is? Yeah. Pastor Sue says, oh, it's a Kotex belt. You used to have to put that thing on and attach all kinds of contraptions to it. Pastor just like, how do you do it? What do you do? It's a different generation, people. Fortunately, clothes have changed. Hair. This is I think it's a 50s hairstyle. So change is good. Wouldn't it be horrible if we had to live in the 50s for the rest of our lives? You want to wear that hairdo every day? So no matter what happens, we cannot keep things the same because change is necessary. My last point. You know that the king of this world is who? Satan. And he's subtle. He wants us to focus on the changes and get in fear and stay the same, stagnant, and panic instead of fulfilling God's plan and purpose for us. Regardless of the changes, we have to focus on our God-given mandate, and that is souls. We can never let fear or our flesh keep us from doing what God has called us to do. That's Satan's plan. We want to get as many souls out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of light as we can. And what should be our motivating factor in all this? Love. Remember the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love people. So we need to check ourselves during this season to embrace change, and we need to say, you know, what's my motivation in all what I'm saying and all what I'm doing, and as frustrated as I am? Is it just making sure my opinion gets heard? Or am I motivated by the love of God, and am I trying to fulfill my purpose and save a soul? We're the ones that everyone else is looking at, the church. You know, as much as they talk about you at work, when the rubber hits the road and there's some problem, guess who they want to pray? They're looking at you. So instead of getting on social media, maybe we need to get on our knees. We need to seek the kingdom of God first and foremost in everything. We need to cast down imagination and anything that exalts itself against what the word tells us. And we need to remember to look to Jesus for our help. You know, we sang a song in the beginning that we are going to be immovable, stand firm, right? And we need to do it together with the love of God, stand for righteousness, stand for truth, and stand together. So we know time was created for us, and it's a good thing. Time brings changes, and they can be scary, but they're also good, and they're also necessary, right? So what can we do about all this practically? Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We need to change the way we think about things. Since when does Facebook and Instagram and Twitter have the final say in what you believe? Since when does any worldview or social media trump what the Word of God says? Let's turn to 2 Kings 6:15. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God has always had a plan. From the very beginning, God has always had a plan. He knew we were going to screw up. And he had a plan to send his son, didn't he? He had a plan with Noah to build an ark before the rains came. He had a plan with Abraham so he didn't have to sacrifice his son, but to have a ram in the thicket. He had a plan with Ruth that she would have favor with Boaz and Jesus would come from their heritage. He had a plan with Job that everything that was taken from him would be returned to him double. He's always had a plan, and he has a plan now. He's not bothered by COVID, elections, the riots, the mask, the economy. But like Elisha's servant, we need to ask God to open our eyes of faith. We need to look to the hills and realize that our help comes from God. We've taken our focus off of God and put it onto the problem. We need to renew our mind that these changes can be good. Chuck Swindoll has a quote, "We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string that we have, and that is our attitude." You know, we can talk negative about things, but people are looking at us, right? The depression rate is up. Anxiety rate is up. So let's be the light and talk positive. You know, when my kids are going to get a shot, immunization, I don't say, "Oh my God, when you get there, that thing is going to hurt you. It's going to be like the worst pain you've ever thought. You're not going to be able to move your arm for a week and you're going to scream." Do you? You're going to say, "It's not going to be that bad. It's going to be a bee sting. It may hurt, but only for a minute, and we're going to get ice cream after," right? When you go to a funeral, it's a horrible situation, isn't it? But do you say, "Girl, how are you going to do it? Getting up every day all by yourself? It's going to be rough, isn't it? And he used to get gas for your car, and he used to do this." Do you go and try to bring him down, or you try to lift him up, right? You know, we could say, "COVID is horrible. It's killing people. I hate wearing masks." But if you wearing a mask prevents one person from dying of COVID, is it worth it? Ooh, I'm stepping on toes. I feel it. You could say, "COVID and this quarantine has given me time to get in the Word more. It's given me time to spend time with my family. It's given me time to look at my life and have a new vision and write it down plainly and pray that God will help me to fulfill it." You know, and COVID is a perfect time to tell people about Jesus. You know, I was watching, I was watching Tony Evans, and he was telling about courting his wife. And he was talking about how change and fear draws people closer to God. He said his wife wasn't really feeling him when they were dating, and he knew of this new amusement park ride that was just so scary. It would, like, go to the edge and then look like you're going to fall off, and it would turn really quick. So he said, "Give me two tickets." And they get on the ride, and she's sitting there, and he's sitting here. And every time it got to one of those scary corners, she scooted a little closer and scooted a little closer. He said by the time the ride ended, you couldn't tell that two people had gotten on the ride because she was all up on them. And, you know, as people are in fear because they don't know the God that we know, they don't know that he has a plan and he's always had a plan, they don't know that he's able, we need to be the ones to say, "Let me tell you about my Jesus." So there are bad things with everything, but let's be the light. Amen? We need to change not only our thoughts, but we need to change ourselves. We need to let the old man die and the new creature that God has created us to be shine in a lost and dying world. We need to let our tongues be controlled so we don't speak according to our emotions and our feelings, but take a minute and speak according to the Word of God. Watch what you say. We need to let our hearts be changed so that we have a clean heart, our thoughts, our emotions, our soul, and let our mind be transformed so we think about what is pure and lovely and trustworthy. We need to be at peace. They're going to be looking at us to say, "Oh, if it's affecting them the same way it's affecting me, then what's the point of having Jesus? I don't need him. I'm going through the same thing they're going through." We cannot go through it like the world goes through it. We need to be at peace because we know that he has plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a future and to give us a hope. We need to be at peace because he has commanded us to be strong and courageous, not be discouraged, because he, the Lord our God, will be with us wherever we go. We need to be at peace because he will teach us the way we should go, and he will counsel us and keep his loving eyes on us. So time was created by God for us. Change is scary, good, but necessary. We can combat all this by renewing our minds, changing the way we think, changing what we say, and changing ourselves. And the last point is that we have to remember that God doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." We serve a God who made time for us, but he's not bound by time. We don't have to fear change, but we need to embrace change and be vessels of change. You know, there are people that look and see what's happening, comment on what's happening, and there are people that make things happening. They make things happen, right? And we need to realize that because we have a God that doesn't change, you know, he always cares about whatever situation, whatever season we're in. He cares now. He cared about the Israelites when they had the Egyptian army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them, and he made a way, and he'll make a way for us. He cared about the masses when they had 5,000 men, not even including women and children, and they only had a boy's 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and he fed them. He made provision for them, and he'll make provision for us. He remains because he's eternal, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He remains Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd, so we don't have to want for anything. We can walk in green pastures and still waters. You know, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and not have to fear because we know he's there. Amen? We need to praise God for change. This is a change in your mindset, you know? We need to praise him for allowing us to change our attitudes, allowing us to change our speech, changing our mind, and we need to embrace change. You know, God's always had a plan, and we need to take these changes and we need to make a plan. You know, one of my favorite plays is Hamilton. I've seen it a couple times. I'm so glad now with COVID it was online, right? And near the end of the movie, they say a line. It says, "When my time is up, have I done enough?" You know, we're accountable to God for the time that he's given us. When you stand before God all by yourself, not with Pastor Jess or, you know, with me, and you stand before him and he says, "Well, have you done enough?" And you have to account for the hours that you had in a day. Ask yourself right now, am I making good use of my time? Am I using it to murmur and complain all the time? Am I bringing those who are suffering from depression and anxiety into the kingdom of God, worried about souls, using the love of God? Have I done enough? 2 Timothy 2:24 says, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil." Have I done enough with the time I've been given? 2 Thessalonians 3:13, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." Are you still doing good, or are you irritable and cranky because you're growing weary? Get a refreshing in Jesus. Colossians 4 verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Is your speech seasoned with salt? Is it adding flavor or pulling people down? Is it preserving the truth of the Word of God? Is your speech making a difference? We can't be the Debbie Downers. We see the problems. Everybody sees the problems. We need to be the light. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." We cannot sugarcoat the word of God to fit into 2020 philosophies. We can't say what's politically right. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. What's sin is sin. Now it's time to be the church, to accept the changes, to be the light. You know, Dwight Eisenhower has a quote. It says, "Neither a wise man nor a brave man lies down on the tracks of history to wait for the train of the future to run him over." Neither a wise man nor a brave man lies down on the tracks of history to wait for the train of the future to run over him. What's that mean? Doesn't matter if you're wise or you're brave or you're rich or you're poor. If you lay down on the past, like if you're still telling the same testimony that happened 20 years ago, the future's going to run you over. If you are still remembering what God did back in the day and you're still saying, I like the typewriter, and you haven't learned how to use a computer, the train of the future is about to run you over. Change is a good thing, and we have to adjust. You know, when COVID first happened, me and my daughter were like, you know, we need to buy some Amazon stock because people aren't going to be able to go to stores. Let God give you innovative ideas. You know, we bought Amazon, and now every time we see a little Amazon truck going down the street, we're like, go Amazon, go Amazon. Amazon's almost at like $3,500 a share, if you understand the stock market. We bought it low. You know, God prospers you if you ask him for innovative ideas. What can't, you know, I see people on Facebook out on the street, when they saw what was happening with COVID, they started making face masks, having a business, booming business. My friend made face masks, she's making bank. All kinds of colors, and she could put the bling on there. She can't. She can put it matching your outfit. You just bring her that material. You know, innovative ideas. Taking what's bad and turning it into something good. And be an agent of change. You know, we have to let the love of God and the love of people motivate us to speak the truth and ask ourselves every single day, have we done enough? Have we stayed stagnant, burying the one talent that God has given us, or have we used it and multiplied it for the good of the people of God? Change is good, although it's scary. It was made by God, but he is the God that is in control, and he does not change. Amen? Did you get something from today's word?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.